Hello, and welcome to the teaching ministry of Faith Word Fellowship, where faith in the Word leads to a more intimate fellowship with God. We're excited to bring you this teaching of Mark Roberson, pastor of Faith Word Fellowship, where we're building people of vision, people of valor, and people of victory. Now let's join Pastor Mark as he delivers this week's teaching.
Come on, open your Bibles with me. Glory to God, to Isaiah chapter 33. Isaiah chapter 33. We're in a teaching series looking at another aspect of the fear of the Lord, and it's entitled Making the Fear of the Lord Your Treasure. Everyone say that with me. Making the fear of the Lord your treasure. Making the fear of the Lord your treasure. Glory to God. Have your own way, Holy Spirit. Have your own way. All right. This is our third session in this. We've looked at a couple of things already, and I even shared something Thursday night about something I call the fear of the Lord effect. The fear of the Lord effect. So let's look at our verse, our scripture text, Isaiah 33, verses 5 and 6. If you have it, say, I have it. Come on, everybody on Zoom, I need you to be with me. Don't allow nothing to distract you. We're going to get this today. All right. Verse 5 says, the Lord is exalted. Why don't you read with me? Ready? Let's read. The Lord is exalted, for he dwelleth on high. Come on. He hath filled Zion with judgment and righteousness. Come on. And wisdom and knowledge shall be the stability of thy times and strength of salvation. The fear of the Lord is his treasure. So it says the Lord is exalted. He dwells on high. We know that. But he's done something. He's filled Zion with judgment and righteousness. And I said to you already in this teaching that when you are walking in the fear of the Lord and you make the fear of the Lord your treasure, that what will begin happening, and it's not because you think you big and bad or anything like that, it's just gonna get on you. That when you walk into a room, God will cause his righteousness and judgment to walk in the room with you. Now, I say this in the name of Jesus. Listen to me. Someone, or maybe more than one, have been dealing with measures or a form of disrespect or dishonor, either from someone or family member or on the job or in your social circles, whatever it is. The answer to resolving that is for you to change how you've been walking. You have to walk in the fear of the Lord, and when you start living your life as unto the Lord, then you've lost your reputation. You're not trying to impress people. You're not trying to be seen by people. You're not trying to be hyped up by people. You're simply living your life as unto the Lord. And what will happen then is that there will be, for lack of a better word right now, all I can think of is like a cloak of God's judgment and righteousness will come upon you. This judgment is not where you judge people. It's where that your presence will bring conviction to people. I shared a testimony with you about how this past Thursday night, I shared with the group about how I took my grandsons. They did a little assignment with me on the job, and so I took them for lunch. We went to Sonics, and we went to the Sonics right across from my high school. You know where Sonics is on Union. And so it was at a time where a lot of them high school kids were in there. And, man, they were rowdy. Rowdy. Well, I just walk in with my grandsons, minding our own business. We place our order. Then we got to go sit at a table and wait. Well, the young girls were rowdy. Back in the day, they would say they were fast. Yes, they were. And they were acting like it. Now, it's cold outside, but they dress like it's in the summer. Shirt cut off in half and showing everything they can. Now, they rowdy fast. And the boys were loving it, and they were rowdy too. So we sit down. And I love, Shirley and I always talk about this, how our grandkids are so mannerable, and we can take them anywhere, and they don't try to be like anybody else. But in my peripheral vision, this girl and this dude was getting ready to say something. He was getting ready to cuss. Let me just go ahead and say he was getting ready to cuss. And then before he could say what he was going to say, he turned around and looked at us and saw me. And then, now it was other adults in there now. Mm-hmm. And they didn't mind them. But he looked at me and turned and didn't say what he was getting ready to say and straightened up and walked around to the other side of the table. The girl who was flouncing and bouncing everywhere. She was there. And then she avoided our aisle and went all the way across to the other side of the restaurant. God will put a respect on you that will affect people around you. Now, it doesn't mean you big and bad. No, you humble. And I didn't go in and saying, listen, I'm Pastor Mike. I don't like all of this stuff going on right now. You need to straighten up. You need to go to somebody's church this coming Sunday. No. His presence caused a correct response. Smith Wigglesworth, man of God who lived years ago, long time ago, would get on a train and reading his little small New Testament Bible that he carried with him. And one time he was reading, one man got up, went to his seat and said, "You convict me of sin," and walked to another car. Smith Wigglesworth didn't do anything. Then the lady starts crying. He didn't say a word. What must I do to be saved? And here we got Christians today who are putting up with disrespect, dishonor, whether it's on the job, in their family, in their social circle, and people talk any kind of way around them. Cuss, their presence don't even make a difference. Why? Because that child of God has not made the fear of the Lord their treasure. Y'all interested in this? Look what it says. I want to read the same passage. Now, if you got your devices, you got to look at this with me. Come on, look it up. And look at, let's look at the Amplified Classic. The Amplified Classic. He says this, verse 5, "The Lord is exalted, for he dwells on high. He will fill Zion with justice and righteousness." Y'all looking at it?
Yes.
Watch this. Read. "Moral and spiritual rectitude in every area and relation." Stop. Now, I pointed this out there as a night. A lot of us, we don't use, Rashawn, the word rectitude in our daily conversation. Well, the word rectitude, Latrice, it simply means how you act, how you carry yourself, your behavior. Look what it says. He says, God's going to fill Zion with justice and righteousness. Now, we talked about this before, that Zion, of course, referred to a mountain. Then it referred to a place where God's presence would dwell. Then as it evolved in scripture, it referred to Israel, natural Israel, the nation, and then the people, the Jewish people. But it was a place where God reserved for his people, where his presence can go. And so for the child of God, you and I, that place is called the kingdom of God. You carry the kingdom of God everywhere you go. Luke 17, 21. The kingdom of God is within you. And so he says he's filling Zion with justice and righteousness, and watch what the Amplified Bible calls that. It calls it moral and spiritual rectitude in every area. Can you say every area?
Every area.
In every area in relation. So that means that when people are acting immoral because you're making the fear of the Lord your treasure, then God's moralness on you will convict them of their immorality. They won't be able to cuss around you. But you got to live right. You got to do right. In your own personal atmosphere, when there's nobody there but you and God, you got to talk right. You got to act right. We hear this, we've heard this for a long time now, that when people come around us in our atmosphere, they say, man, it's so peaceful here. Well, because I don't go for agitation, irritation, frustration, none of those taters. And we'll tell our kids, when you come with attitude, are we going to change? If not, you got to go. See you tomorrow. Because there's something at stake more than their little feeling. When they're going to need me to get in contact with God for them, I don't want their attitude to take my prayer hostage. Jesus. Oh, Lord. So that's what happens now. So people come around us and they know you're a Christian. They know you go to church, but they don't respect your Christian worth because they've observed how you live. They watched you when you didn't know you were being watched. They watched what you accept. They watch what you approve of. And they watch what you become a part in. So now from that, they drew a conclusion about you that now they can act around you, however, because you accepted it before, you approved it before, and you joined in before. I remember back in the day when God would deal with me. I'm in my 20s now, and God was dealing with me. Don't you laugh at every joke. Be on the job. In my 20s, I'm going to play basketball. He said, don't laugh at every joke. I remember I played in the first 3-on-3 tournament that became a national phenomenon, the 3-on-3 tournaments. And so I played in the first one, and I just acknowledged my call to the ministry, and my spiritual father said this. He said, now, son, you're going to be challenged on that basketball court. Now, I played college ball. He didn't say that. But see, when I played college ball, I didn't acknowledge my calling. Now I had acknowledged my calling, and now the first big thing I'm playing in besides pickup ball is this 3-on-3 tournament. And he says, you're going to be challenged. Son, govern yourself on this court. Well, he's talking to me. I'm in my early 20s. It's no big deal. What you talking about, man? I know how to handle the basketball court. I played college ball. Well, the first thing that happened, our teammate shows up late because he's drunk. No. This teammate goes to church with me. We're in the same male chorus at the church. He shows up drunk, eyes red. I want to hit him. I want to hit him. That was my first challenge. He showed up drunk. He know how serious I take playing basketball. And he shows up drunk. Now, he's the same one who has played with me in tournaments before. And I could depend on him and rely on him. And now he does this. And then on the court, The opponents try to cheat. And now my drunk teammate goes and tries to show his goes to show himself. Yes, he does. Help me preach this day. Come on. Because something else tried to come out. Anyway. He shows himself. I want to jump on him for just showing up drunk. But I knew he was right, but that was not the way to handle it. And then the dude I'm holding, he's going to say, "Oh, big man, what you got to say? You ain't got nothing anyway." I said, "Oh, brother." It was another word, but brother. And I saw something. What the old folks used to always say when they were singing this song. Walk with me, Lord.
Yes.
Walk with me. You know, I didn't understand it, but now I heard my spiritual father's words in my ears. On that basketball court, you govern yourself. So I said all of that to say this. How have you been governing yourself? Your family recognizes you as a church goer. Do they recognize you as a God pleaser? Do you please God in what you say and how you say? Or do you join in with all conversation and it's funny to you? Let's look at this. Let's look at this. Go with me. Proverbs. Well, we looked at this. I got to get somewhere. But, you know, we talked about this. I'm going to take you to Proverbs in a minute. But we talked about this. We said that the fear of the Lord is reverencing and respecting God. Say that. The fear of the Lord is
reverencing and respecting God.
Okay. Now add this. At all times.
At all times.
Now, do you reverence God at all times? Do you respect God? See, you got to do this to make the fear of the Lord your treasure. You'll never be able to access and tap into the benefit of the fear of the Lord without capturing the essence of it, the concept of it. Okay? This is why I've stayed in this teaching so long, because I want the Spirit of God to take what's being taught and what you're hearing to uproot what you've been settling for. That's why many people out in the world don't agree with the church, because they see all the hypocrites. I just had a conversation with a pastor the other day. And I said, man, I told him, I said, "Man, I'm bothered. How the son think it's okay, they can go to the club, they can go drink, and then still I'm going to have a healing ministry. I'm going to go do this for the Lord. I'm going to go," huh? There's a contradiction there. And the reason why some people, specifically people younger than me, the generation following me, they feel like it's okay, is because there are many churches that say it's okay. That it's okay. You know, y'all do that in your culture, so it's okay. God understands your heart. As long as you do this for the Lord, it's okay. It's not okay. It's not okay. There's a reason why they call liquor spirits. There's a reason. And watch this. There's not one bottle of liquor that you'll find the Holy Spirit in. There's a reason. So we got all these Christians posting things on social media and claiming to love Jesus. And I'm saying, you don't love Jesus. You love yourself. You want to do what you want to do, when you want to do it, and how you want it to, how you want it done. I'll never forget how Jesse Duplantis was preaching in Australia, I believe it was. They had him, they wanted to interview him. And in the church, at this church, they were saying, oh, it's okay to drink as long as I don't get drunk. I can drink. I'm not. Brother Jesse, I'm not getting drunk. And Jesse said, so the commentator asked Brother Jesse about that and said, and so on to his left was three pastors, and then on the front row were their wives. And so Jesse, like he always does, Lord, how am I going to get out of this? And God gave him this. He says, well, brothers, I see your wives over here, and you have some good-looking wives. They look good. Look at that one in the middle. She's really pretty. So what if her and I go over here, and I go over here, and I say, come on, baby, just girl, come on. Oh, you looking good. Come on, baby. Come on, mom. Oh, do it, honey. Come on, come on. Drop it like it's hot. Come on, come on. And then he said, but we don't go all the way. Will you accept it? Because we didn't go all the way. We just teased a little bit. He said all three of them preachers turned beet red, got hot. And the reason why is because it's all right for them to toy with sin, but they don't want nobody toying with what they have when it comes to that sin. It's all right for them to do. And so he said, brothers, all I'm saying is, he said, all I did was mention it. I didn't even go over there to none of the wives, and you brothers are upset already. But you say it's okay, brother Justin, I'm drinking. And then he said this, if I said I got saved and became a new creature, why do I feel like it's okay to go back to do part of the sin I got delivered from? When I was an old creature to do that, and none of that is involved in a new creature. Why am I forcing this new creature to go accept old man ways? A lot of people don't want to deal with that. And so that's why we're not seeing the miraculous. So the fear of the Lord is living in awe of God in every situation and circumstance of life and choosing to respect and honor him regardless of what you may face in life. And you got to get to this place that there is no situation that can cause you to allow your respect for God and your honor to God to diminish, fade out, or disappear because you have chosen to live in awe of the holiness of God. The fear of the Lord. Say the fear of the Lord.
The fear of the Lord.
The fear of the Lord. So we talked about this, that it's an anointing. So it'll destroy yokes. So it destroyed the yoke of the fear of man off of me. It destroyed the yoke of me being ashamed and being embarrassed about a Christian. It destroyed that yoke off of me. To where I can be confident in any setting. But I wasn't always this confident because I did not operate in the fear of the Lord. I was just trying to be good. I was just trying to have good morals and make good choices. And when I was in an atmosphere that challenged that, I drew to the back instead of standing up. And so I had to learn. I'll go to Proverbs 8. Real quick, come on, go to Proverbs 8. I had to learn, and I still, you know, at the churches I was going to at the time, I wasn't being taught to fear the Lord, because we were told to fear the Lord means God's going to judge you, God's going to get you for that, God's going to kill you. If you don't get yourself right, God's going to have a car run over you. So we were terrified. I remember I went to go help somebody and be a blessing, so I cut their yard. On a Sunday, when the old school, you don't do nothing on Sunday. And I just went to go be a blessing. I went to go be a blessing, cut the yard on a Sunday. I saw it needed, and I didn't wait for them to do it, and I wanted to be a blessing. And man, they came to Cheryl and said, you better go get that boy and tell him, get out there, put that lawnmower up. God's going to get him for that. cutting the yard, helping somebody, God gonna get me. So they taught us the wrong type of fear. They didn't teach us how to reverence God, how to have this awareness of God, how to have this respect for God, how to have this honor for God. And so a lot of that, some of y'all still got in you. You still got it in you. But you got to allow the Holy Spirit to uproot that. And then some of us in here and on the Zoom, you still have, watch this, religious compromise in your heart. So you compromise. See, it's religious compromise. It's all right. It's okay. I'm going to church. And then if I do wrong, God will forgive me. Religious compromise. It's in your heart. It's in your heart. Okay, you at Proverbs 8?
Amen.
Look at verse 13. Look at verse 13. The fear of the Lord, why don't y'all read with me? Ready? Let's read. The fear of the Lord is to hate evil, pride and arrogancy, and the evil way and the froward mouth do I hate. What? That's the fear of the Lord. I got to make this my treasure. So I don't compromise with evil, that which is not of God. I don't compromise with pride, and I don't compromise with arrogancy. I got to deal with that. And all of us got pride issues and areas that we got to deal with. So that's why operating in the fear of the Lord is not an overnight thing. But it is an overnight choice. I'm willing to do this. Give me another translation real quick. Somebody find me the New Living Translation and somebody find me the Amplified Classic. Real quick.
Amplified Classic.
I got one. This one is the what? Okay. Okay. All right. Here's the New Living Translation. Proverbs 8, verse 13. Our New Living says, all who fear the Lord will hate evil. Therefore, I hate pride and arrogance, corruption, and perverse speech. So the fear of the Lord will deal with your talk. You can't cuss out people just because you get upset. You can't cuss out people just because you're telling a joke. You can't cuss out people because, well, you know, that's just my family. No. Because when it's time for you to be the one to get the prayer through, your compromise has caused heaven to be closed over you. Okay, the Amplified. The reverent fear and worshipful awe of the Lord includes the hatred of evil. Now, when you see evil, many Christians become judgmental and say, oh, she evil. Look at her with them devilish ways, you know. Or he's evil. Look at him, mean. But let's look at what God called evil in Numbers 13 and 14 when he sent the 12 spies out, had Moses to send them out, and 10 came back with a evil report. Well, now, what was an evil report? I'm getting ready to get somebody. An evil report is accepting a report that goes against the report of the Lord. That you got God's word on something, but instead of talking in agreement with that word, thinking in agreement with that word, acting in agreement with that word, you start operating and talking and acting in a manner that is against the word God has given to you, either verbally, rhema, or through the written word, logos. So he called that an evil report. The 10 spies came back and they said, man, we saw giants. And it was true, they saw giants. He said, we saw walled cities. It was true, they saw walled cities. Jericho was one of them. We did see the fruit, that is good. It was true, the fruit was good. God said it was. But see, when God told them that he had given them the land, He never said that the enemy would be a deterrent because he was going to fight their battles. But they did. And so they said, who are we against these giants? We're like grasshoppers in their eyes. Okay, now, you're not looking at no giants. But let's talk about your problem. Do you act like that problem gets the best and, man, I don't have a way out? And I don't know when God says he's your solution. What about when you're around negative people? What about when you're around negative situations? How do you act? And so, he said in Proverbs 13 from the Amplified Classic, the reverent, fear, and worshipful awe of the Lord includes, everyone say it includes, the hatred of evil, pride, arrogance, the evil way, and perverted and twisted speech. The fear of the Lord. The fear of the Lord. So now go with me to Proverbs chapter 2. Proverbs chapter 2. And then I'm going to close out with 1 Samuel 30. Okay, Proverbs chapter 2. I'm going to start at verse number 1. My son, if thou wilt receive my words, y'all with me?
Yes, sir.
And hide my commandments or deposit my commandments with thee, so that thou incline thine ear unto wisdom and apply thine heart to understanding. Now, he says this, if you'll receive my words, if you'll receive my words, if you'll receive my words, if you'll receive my words. Watch this, y'all. If you receive my words. So watch this. Everyone look here. If I'm giving Latrice something, put your hand down. If I'm giving Latrice something, I want that hand. Now I want the one with something in it. So, can she receive this if she got something in her hand? No. She has to let go of. She has to let go of what is in her hands in order to receive. What has happened many times, many Christians are not receiving what God says because they're holding on to how they see it.
Amen.
You got to let go of that. In order to receive what God says, you got to let go of how you see it. You got to let go of how you feel about it. You have to let go of, watch this, how you think you're going to be affected by what may happen, the outcome. This is how the fear of the Lord, let's keep on reading. If you receive my words and hide my commandments with you, so I said this Thursday night, if you receive God's words, then you won't allow your reasoning to argue against his words. Everyone say, don't allow
your reasoning
or understanding to argue against God's words. All right. Verse 2, so that you will incline your ear unto wisdom and apply your heart to understanding. Yes, verse 3, if thou criest after knowledge. What's he talking about? Develop a spiritual hunger for what God says. If thou criest after knowledge and liftest up thy voice for understanding. Well, what does he mean? Put this down in your notes. I must declare spiritual truths by faith. I must declare spiritual truths by faith. What do you mean, spiritual truth? The scripture. I got to declare it. I got to speak it out of my mouth by faith, not based on how I feel, not based on what I think, not based on what I'm experiencing, by faith. Learn to have faith without feelings. So I must declare spiritual truth by faith. 2, I must talk myself into it. I must talk myself into it. I must talk myself into it. How do I talk myself to it? How I do it, I make the scripture personal. And I make it personal by putting, when I declare it, I put personal pronouns in it so that it will be like I'm talking to me. I want this thing to get off into my heart. And then 3, you got to build your confidence up concerning it by calling it forth into your life. Build your confidence up concerning it by calling it forth into your life. One more time. Build your confidence up concerning it. Concerning what? Concerning that scripture, that spiritual truth. I got to build my confidence in it by calling it forth into my life. Okay. Okay. So this is not so vague. What do you mean? The Bible says, Psalms 34:9, oh, fear the Lord, ye his saints, for there is no want to them that fear him. But you know you got want. But that scripture says, if I fear the Lord, there is no want to them that fear him. God can't lie. But I know I got want. I want this, I want that, I want this, I want that. I got wants in my life. But the Bible says, if I fear the Lord, there is no want. So now what am I going to do? How am I going to get this one verse off the pages of the Bible into a place of manifestation in my life to where I become a walking confirmation that this is true? How do I do that? I got to declare this spiritual truth by faith. You wrote it down, number one. So I declare it. Father, you said, oh, fear the Lord, ye his saints, for there is no want to them that fear him. Lord, I believe that as truth. I accept it as truth and I receive it as truth. Now, this is not a one-time thing. I'm not just saying this one time because my head isn't convinced about this verse working. Because I still see wants. So then the second thing I gave you was I got to talk myself into it. Mark, God said, if I fear him, I have no want. Sometimes I look myself in the mirror at home. Mark, God said, if I fear him, I'll have no want. Mark, do you hear me? God said, if I fear him, I'll have no want. I don't care what you think you see. I don't care what you think you know. I don't care how you feel about this or that. I'm going with God. I'm going to talk myself into it. And then the next one is, build your confidence up concerning it by calling it forth into your life. Lord, you said that if I fear you, I'll have no want. So I call forth the reality of this scripture in my life. I decree and declare from this moment forward that I, Mark Roberson, I am fearing you. So I'm going to make sure that I govern my life by the fear of the Lord in every place I go, because I'm expecting to live at a no want place. I'm going to declare that. So that's why. So now I get around coworkers or family and they start joking. And they start saying, Mark, do you hear that? I said, no, man, I don't hear that. Let me tell you again. I don't want you to tell me again. I don't hear that. Because I'm not going to allow their joke to cost me my no want place. So then they'll come around. And they'll say this, no, I'm not getting it. And then discouragement may try to come. And I'm not going to give in to discouragement. Why? I fear the Lord. I'm in awe of God. Discouragement, I rebuke you. And then I'm going to talk Psalms 34:9 again. Oh, fear the Lord, yes, saints. See, you all just don't know. I've been in the grocery store at times, walking down the aisle, talking to the Lord. Lord, you said, oh, fear the Lord, ye his saints, for there is no want to them that fear him. And so, Father, I say right now in Jesus' name, me and Sherwood don't have no want, Lord, because I fear you. And I'm going to keep on fearing you. Regardless of what my bank account says right now, I'm going to continue reverencing you. I'm going to continue honoring you. Regardless of what my wallet say right now, I'm going to keep on reverencing you. Regardless of what the situation say right now, that when I go spend this money for these little groceries, it's not going to be enough left. I'm not looking at that, Lord. I'm looking to you. I'm talking myself into this, man, because God can't lie. God can't lie. Look at verse 4, Proverbs 2:2-4. Read, if thou seekest her as silver and searchest for her as for hid treasure, come on, then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. What? You mean if I don't do this, then I won't understand the fear of the Lord? That's all I'm trying to get you to see. You got to make the fear of the Lord your treasure. Now I'm close with this. You did it with your mama. Now, in my house, mama was a disciplinarian one. Okay? And watch this. So she said, such and such. And then she would say it like this. And I mean, don't you do such and such. So when you're not in her presence, you're around your friends, you say, no, I can't do that. My mama said, I can't do that. You held on to that. And if you tried to do it behind her back, you did it with fear and trembling. Because you just felt like, I know if it's anybody going to get caught, it's going to be me. I'm going to get caught. I know it. I'm going to get caught. What she did was, thank you. What she did was, she taught you to respect her authority. Mm-hmm. Wait a minute. She taught you to respect her voice even when you wasn't in her presence. And she taught you to expect an outcome. You were walking by faith. You just didn't know it. You expected an outcome if you dishonored her, disrespected her, or disobeyed her. Come on, somebody. So all I'm telling you to do is talk yourself into respecting God. Talk yourself into respecting His word. But right now, some of you still feel like you know what's best for your life. You know how to make your life work. And I know what Pastor Mark is saying, but he just don't know. No, you don't know. You don't know. And so, glory to God. Hallelujah. I want you to understand that you have to treasure this opportunity you've given. But Pastor Mark, what if I lose? There you go. There you go. You're thinking the worst before it even happens. There you go. You want to know what that's called? Entertaining an evil report. But Pastor Mark, what if I do all of that and nothing happens? There you go. There you go. Well, Pastor Mark, the only reason why those kids respected you was because they saw your height and you're a man of God. There you go. You're dismissing yourself from carrying something your mother and father didn't know how to carry. There you go. You got to want to walk into this. And it brings you to a place of understanding and wisdom, and the struggles you've been having, you won't have no more. I'm going to end with these 4 points. I've already given them to you. You might already have them in your notes, but it'll fit right here. Number one, we're ending now. We're ending. Number one, the fear of the Lord never argues with God. God is always right. You got that in your notes? You should have it. I've spoken to this before. The fear of the Lord, what? The fear of the Lord never what?
Argues with God.
The fear of the Lord does what?
Never argues
with God. Even when God tells you to give your last, the fear of the Lord never argues with God. Even when the Lord tells you to go do something, you, I'm not going to do that. Well, I got to go over there and talk to them. The fear of the Lord never argues with God. God is always right. Number two. The fear of the Lord will give you a certain attitude in every situation. Y'all see that? Uh-huh. Christmas got it in his note already. You got it in your note already? You tell me you don't got it, you're not writing it down. Lord, have mercy. The fear of the Lord will give you a certain attitude in any situation. Lord, that brother sitting up here, like, I got this, Pastor Murray, I got this. And no, he's got to be writing some notes. I'm trying to help us. That's all. I'm not trying to point us out. I just use him as an example. But I'm trying to show you something. That attitude under a teaching like this is religious pride. And we operate it unconsciously. I've been guilty of it too. And we know we're not seeing a supernatural in our life like we should. We know that we're not living in a no-want state. We know that we're not living in a healed body like we should. And we still sit there like, I got this. I got this. The fear of the Lord will give you a certain attitude in any situation. What's that attitude? Trust. I'll trust him like I've never trusted him before. Number three. The fear of the Lord always says, what does God say about this? It never looks at me, myself, and I. The fear of the Lord always says, what does God say about this? Not what do I think about this or what I can get out of this. What does God say about this? And then finally, number four. The fear of the Lord always motivates us to seek the Lord and motivates us to seek to please the Lord. The fear of the Lord always motivates us to seek the Lord and motivates us to seek to please the Lord. You got that?
Glory, yes.
Glory to God. Let's stand on our feet. Glory to God. Y'all got that on Zoom? All right. All right. Heavenly Father, the only reason we're teaching this, and even in my own way, there are times that our flesh tries to overwhelm us and tries to make us feel like we don't need to hear any more of this. We got this. Father, deliver us from religious pride. Deliver us from the control of our flesh. Deliver us so that we'll remain like a sponge and absorb your word, absorb your presence, and capture what you're imparting to us. There's an impartation in this room that has been released, waiting to be caught. Father, cause your people to receive it. Thank you that you're causing us to overcome, overpower, and overwhelm the dishonor and the disrespect that's in the atmosphere because of society out in the world. But in this atmosphere, you're anointing us to receive at a level and a measure we've never known before. Will you awaken us? Make that your prayer. Say, Lord, awaken me.
Lord, awaken me.
Lord, awaken me. Lord, awaken me. Lord, awaken me. In the name of Jesus. Now everyone repeat this after me. Say, Heavenly Father.
Heavenly Father.
In the name of Jesus.
In the name of Jesus.
I ask you to forgive me.
For all the times.
I participated.
In disrespecting.
Or dishonoring you.
It was never my intention.
But I did realize.
Whenever I went against your word.
When I talked against your word.
When I embraced thoughts that were against your word.
Help me to mature.
To a place of spiritual discipline.
Where I will become more consistent.
More consistent in respecting you.
More consistent in reverencing you.
More consistent in honoring you.
We truly hope you enjoyed this teaching by Pastor Mark Roberson of Faith Word Fellowship. Please visit us at one of our two locations. If you're in Buffalo, New York, or surrounding areas, please visit us at Faith Word Fellowship International. And if you're in the St. Catharines, Ontario, or surrounding areas, please visit us at Faith Word Fellowship Canada. To learn more about Faith Word Fellowship, or to contact Pastor Mark, or to even access other teachings by Pastor Mark, please visit us at www.faithwordfellowship.org. And always remember, one word from God and you will never be the same again.